We all stand for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 4. We were in that a little bit this morning. I'd like to give you a message tonight that might be an encouragement to you. John, and if you would please, in chapter 4. And John chapter 4. We're going to just read a few verses in John 4. We're starting in verse 3 of John 4. The Bible says, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Heavenly Father, help me now. Give me the words to say. Guide and direct everything that happens tonight. May it bring honor and glory to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read you a rest of the story. Some of you remember Paul Harvey? I don't have his voice. Wouldn't that be cool? There's two voices I'd really like to have in my life every once in a while. I'd love to be able to mimic his voice and James Earl Jones. I think I would just love to be able to talk like that. No, I can't have him. Paul Harvey writes, God has a way of allowing us to be in the right place at the right time. He says, I was walking down a dimly lit street late one evening when I heard muffled screams coming from behind a clump of bushes. Alarmed, I slowed down to listen and panicked when I realized that what I was hearing were the unmistakable sounds of a struggle, heavy grunting, frantic scuffling, and fabric being torn. Only yards from where I stood, a woman was being attacked. Should I get involved? I was frightened for my own safety and cursed myself for having suddenly decided to take a new route home that night. What if I became another statistic? Shouldn't I just run to the nearest phone and call the police? Although it seemed an eternity, the deliberations in my head had taken only seconds. But already the cries were growing weaker. I knew that I had to act fast. How could I walk away from this? No, I finally resolved. I could not turn my back on the fate of this unknown woman, even if it meant risking my own life. I'm not a brave man, nor am I an athlete. I don't know where I found the moral courage and physical strength, but once I had finally resolved to help the girl, I became strangely transformed. I ran behind the bushes and pulled the assailant off the woman. Grappling, we fell to the ground, where we wrestled for a few minutes until the attacker jumped up and escaped. Panting hard, I scrambled upright and dusted myself off and approached the girl who was crouched behind a tree sobbing. In the darkness, I could barely see her outline, but I could certainly sense that she was trembling in shock. Not wanting to frighten her any further, I first spoke to her from a distance. Is it okay? Or you're all right, in a very soothing voice. The man ran away. You're safe now. There was a long pause, and then I heard words uttered in the yonder distance by the tree in amazement. Dad, is that you? And then from behind the tree stepped out my youngest daughter, Catherine. God has a way of fixing things, doesn't he? A way of doing things that we don't know what he's doing. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about questionable directions. Sometimes God has us do things we don't know what he's doing. Sometimes he wants to use us and allows things in our lives that we don't want to be allowed. Am I right? Any of you going through problems? Problems in life come. Difficulties in life come about. Sometimes God puts us in a situation to where we're going, what's going on? Sometimes we put ourselves in a situation that we're in a mess and we need help. We've got to understand the Lord's work can be so interesting. There are moments of great glory, joy, and peace. Victory over evil, the evil one, and conquering of sins in our life. Souls that we lead to the Christ and see in life's chains. Thrills on the left hand and thrills on the right. But many a time we have no idea what the Lord is doing in our lives. And even question His leadership. Have any of you ever asked, what are you doing? Have you ever asked this one? Do you know what I'm going through? Here we find the Lord and His disciples on a missionary trip that leads into a questionable direction. What would this trip produce? How can any good come out of such a place? Why take a detour here? Got to realize the Jews' normal route was strictly taken from Jerusalem to Galilee towards Jericho. The other way, across the Jordan River to the east side, north through Para, by crossing that hated group called the Samaritans, and finally recrossing the Jordan into Galilee. Yes, though, Jesus decided to take a detour and go right through the worst town in the area, and even to a filthy town called Sychar. The work of the Lord can take many detours at time. And most of the time we don't like it. And even question our commander-in-chief. So I'd like to show you five things real quickly. I'm not going to be long on it. They all start with the letter C. First, verse 4 and 5, we see an unlikely city. We see a city that's unlikely. Verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, how about this? Sequim. When I mentioned I was going to Sequim, Washington, well, praise the Lord, I called and asked, and the real estate agent told me the name before I started to pronounce it. So I was blessed. I never called a Sequim, but everybody, they thought I was from here when I came here for the first time and said it's Squim. They go, who told you? You know, and I was deemed a smart, wise man because I say it. Most don't know where it is. I have preachers today go, where's that? And I'll say, you know where Victoria, B.C. is? Yeah, we're right across the water. We say, you know where Port, and they know where Port Angeles is. I said, we're right before, you have to go through Squim to get to Port Angeles. You got to drive right by our church. I've had preachers say they don't know where we're at. Most of our missionaries, and I've rebuked a few of them, most of them end up hitting the whole state with all the churches and forget Squim. We're off the beaten path. We're an hour from anywhere. And so we got to realize that. Most churches per capita, I don't know if you know this, we have the most churches per capita in the United States, yet the least attended per church in the United States. Crime rate, I don't know if you know this, but the crime rate averages 7% higher than any other place in the state. You wouldn't think it, but our crime rate's pretty bad in this area. They count Port Angeles and Squim. Port Angeles is probably most of it, I'm hoping. 43% higher than any other city in the United States on the average. Isn't that interesting? Well, this city's not one of people, and it's the most mispronounced. It's pronounced mispronounced more than any other city, even more than Puyallup. Squim is always pronounced Sequim. Always. I've never seen it. When I write it down, they go, how long have you been in Sequim? I said, I've never been there. But I am in Squim. I don't know if you knew this. This unlikely city had a horrible name. The word Sychar means a lion and drunken people. What a name for a city. I don't know if you knew this, but the three most evil cities in the United States is Seattle, Portland, and San Francisco. And most evil, they switch jobs, I mean, they switch positions. They just kind of jockey for a position. I think they're actually looking to be the worst, but that's horrible. But this is a horrible city they were sent to. I've heard many different names of what squim means. And someone told me it was a cub, like a seal cub. And others, man, it was an Indian something. I don't know, but whatever. A horrible name. It's history. It has a history that's bad. This is where Dinah was defiled by the king's son in Genesis chapter 33. This is where Joseph was sold into slavery in Genesis 37. This is a city of refuge in Joshua 20. Gideon's concubine that bore Abimelech was from this city. We find this in Joshua. Remember Abimelech, the one that killed all the king's sons? Rehoboam went to meet Israel in this area. This is where Jeroboam started his false religion, found in 1 Kings chapter 12. 80 men came from here to Mizpah and were murdered by Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, in Jeremiah 41. This is a bad city. Nothing good has ever happened to it. Why would God go there? It was hated by many. Like I said, the Jews would not even go through it. I wonder what the disciples were thinking when Jesus said, hey, I need to go through Samaria. And they're looking at him go, what are you doing? How many times has God asked you to do something? You had to go, what are you doing in my life? Put pain and suffering, put loss, job transfers. Come on. Family difficulties that get into your life and you're going, whoa, what is going on? Nobody likes that kind of stuff. The Levites hated him, the scribes, and even the disciples. Why is he talking to this woman? A Samaritan. Not only that, the unlikely conditions. Look at verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So first of all, he was weary. Now, let me just throw this out to you if I can, please. And a lot of us forget this. Jesus was human. 100% human. Only thing that Jesus did not have is the sin nature. Because he was placed in the womb of Mary. He was not born of Mary and he was not born of Joseph. He was born of God by the Holy Spirit. Placed in. So he didn't have the blood sin passed on to him as we are. We're all sinners, not because we're born of Adam, because we sin. But we have the nature to sin. Jesus didn't have the nature of sin, but he was human. And sometimes we forget that. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, our high priest has faced everything you have. Jesus gets tired. He got tired here. How can I think? God didn't get tired, but God the Son did. Because he was God hyphen man. 100% God, but he was also 100% human. So he got tired. Jesus knows about getting tired. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, be not weary in well-doing. But sometimes we get weary. Sometimes you get tired. Anybody get grouchy when they get tired? Snappy? Anybody get snappy? Ooh, remind me of that about April there, Joshua. Now I know why Joshua retires every once in a while, gets away from her. She's tired, I'm gone. Yeah, it could get bad. Hey, Jesus got tired. Not only that, look at verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. He got thirsty. I don't really like this time of year. I don't understand this. It seems moist outside, but I always seem dry mouth. Anybody like that? The heaters all the time taken. I'm used to in the Midwest, we'd always have a pot on the stove with a steam coming out of it during the winter to keep the static down, because my mom hated us boys going on the carpet and touching her. We used to do that all the time. Or get underneath the bed and the blankets and lift up the blanket, see your hair sparkle. You remember those days? That's probably why I'm running out of hair, because I did that a lot when I was a kid. I mean, Jesus got thirsty. He got cotton mouth. And I don't know about you, being thirsty is no fun. I don't like it. I don't like what it fills up my nose or anything. In verse 8, if you look at verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. We find out later he hadn't eaten anything. So he was weary, tired, he was thirsty, and he was hungry. My daughter-in-law says that she had a headache this morning, and I didn't ask who gave it to her. But I said, what kind? She goes, I got it right here, you know. And is anybody like me? I get it right between, right in my eyes. My eyes get weary when I don't eat enough. If I've gone too long without food, and my eyes, and somebody, low sugar. Who cares what it is? If I eat, it solves it. I don't need any pills. My pills is a steak. About a pound. You know, I tried, pound and a half don't go with me anymore. I used to put down 2 or 3 pounds of steak every sitting, but them days are long gone. Maybe 1 pound, you know. But anyways, that's my pill. But you get hungry. Jesus got hungry. Lame. I don't know if you know this. You remember who come out to Jesus? The lame, the halt, and the blind came first. Jesus understands that we get tired, that we're human, that we're frail. But he still wants us to work. And then this pastor has a special prayer meeting, a visitation, work day, and you're going, I'm tired. The Lord understands that. And if he's tapping on your shoulder and saying, go to the work day, you're going, but I'm tired. Amen? The Lord does this from time to time, and we need to understand how he works. Number two, if you would, please. It's not only a city, unlikely conditions, but also an unlikely candidate. Look at verse 19. Look at verse 19, if you would, please. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither see this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem. Worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such as worship him, to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Then saith he unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman, and yet no man said, Why, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? So the first thing we see is unlikely city. The second one is unlikely conditions. But the third one is an unlikely candidate. Like I said in my morning message, when I was saying I was thinking about writing a book, I have 2 or 3 that I got started and I've never finished them. And one of the reasons is I don't think I'm gifted enough to be a writer. I even told my son Daniel I'd like him to take my messages. They're going to tape them, and he's going to take them and he's going to edit them, because he speaks English and I speak Missouri. So, I have a statement here in a little bit I use all the time, but you'll hear it here in a bit. But I said, please, if you would, listen to them. And I don't want you to change the meanings or anything, but if I say a word wrong, fix it or take care of it. But I don't feel like I'm the type of man that should be saved by grace and on my way to heaven. I don't think I'm good enough man to be a pastor or a preacher, or if you want to call it a prophet of the Lord's work. I don't think I'm good enough, but the Lord must have thought something. I remember many men in the church when I said I got called to preach, they go, man, you're the most unlikely man in our church to become a pastor. Praise God. Amen. Not many mighty, not many strong. Amen. The Lord tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's not going to work. This lady was a liar. Straight out liar. I'm not married. He goes, yeah, okay, you're truthful that. You've had 5 marriages and the man you're living with now is not your husband. So in that, you're telling the truth. Anybody here ever not tell all the truth instead of lying? I just, you know, if they don't know, don't give them all the information. Amen. It's like one time my dad said, "How many cookies did you take?" And I said, "Two." Under my breath, at a time. 12 were missing. But I took 2 at a time. And he figured that out. He started laughing. He goes, "Yeah, 2 times something." Not only that, she was a religious hypocrite. Verse 19 again. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." He even says later on that you worship not what you know not. True worshipers worship God. So she was a religious hypocrite. How many of you, don't raise a hand, think you're a better Christian than you actually are? You report that to people. You actually think you're something. You know why? We compare ourselves with other people. I mean, I'm not as bad as. And I know what you, all of us come, well, all of us are measured the same way. All of us come short to the glory of Christ. All of us. That's our pattern, Jesus. When you want to see who and what kind of Christian you are, take Jesus and set him up again. You find out you're a little crooked, a little off plumb. Amen? We all are. We all fall short of that. So it doesn't matter where you're at compared to me. You're short of Jesus. So we need to keep that in mind when we think about measuring ourselves. She was a liar. If you think you are too small to do big things, try doing small things in a big way. I can't do it. Amen. Oh, wow. Working for the Lord is not always on our best day or even our healthiest day. But we need to work for the Lord. She's also an adulterer. Look at verse 6, if you would, please. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." Let's keep reading down. Look at verse 15. And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water. I first thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "Thou hast said, well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." This was the 6th hour. The 6th hour in the Jewish calendar is noon. The time that would not be a time for drawing water, which should be mostly at evening. It was also Jacob's well. This region was full of springs, and there was no need to go to this well that was far from the city unless you were ashamed and were seeking privacy. I've heard this in my life, and I'm going to say it. This is Missouri talk. Just because you was doesn't mean you is. There's a lot of people that are stuck on the was. You don't know who I was. You don't know where I've been. But just because you was don't mean you is. The Lord said, "But ye are washed, but ye are clean, but ye are sanctified." This woman got saved, and because of that, she was able to be a likely candidate. Before you got saved, before I got saved, none of us were a likely candidate to serve the Lord. You may be that one person that God says, I can take this. Amen. You know, he gets a lot of glory out of using bums like us. When we do something good, he gets all the glory. And he should get it anyway. Even if you're the best looking, best talking, best soul winner, best singer, best musician, doesn't matter. God should still get the glory. And sometimes he lets you mess yourself up before he works on you and uses you. We need to praise the Lord for that. Don't let failure discourage your future. A lot of times failure messes with our future. Let's not let that happen. Amen? Look at verse 27. We see an unlikely commissioned person. Verse 27. "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith unto the men, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now think about this for a second. This is an unlikely commissioned person. What were the disciples thinking of? Raise a hand. Food, meat. I praise God that's in there. It didn't say vegetables or tofu. They were after meat. They were after a good meal. Their stomachs were growling. They had been traveling for a while. And it was time. They were doing their routine. Come on. Sometimes we're so involved with our routine, we don't have time to stop and talk to somebody. They went into town, into Sychar, and got food and came back not talk to one person about the Lord. And no one would think this adulterous woman that's had five husbands, where she thinks she got the five husbands? Sychar. And some people think the men that first came out were the six men. The five she was married to and the one that she's living with. Who knows what it was. But all of a sudden the whole city comes out to see Jesus. She was not called. She was not one of the called disciples. She was not trained. She didn't have the Romans Road memorized. It wasn't even written yet. You know, I hear people say, you got to memorize. No, you don't. Man alive, just tell them what Jesus did for you. It'd be good if you memorize some verses, but you don't have to be a good soul winner. Just let them, Jesus, save my soul. Come. And hey, if you don't know the Bible good enough, get them to church. I'll give them some Bible. We need not trained. She was just saved and had a witness. Come see a man. Wow, what a message. That's all she had. That's pretty interesting. Amen. You remember the demoniac? The Lord said, just go tell him what I did to you. That's it. Just go tell him what happened to you. And that's all he did. Even Saul of Tarsus God used. She was not supported. I hear a lot of people say, hey, I need someone to back me up. She was all alone. The apostles even doubted her worthiness. What's he talking about, this worthless woman? She left her water pot. She didn't even take her water back. She dropped it right there and ran into the city. Spiritually, she went to the ones that she sinned against. The town she lived in, she went back and witnessed to the town. You remember what the Lord said? Only in a man's own town is a prophet without honor. And yet this woman went back to her own town. I'm telling you, folks, an unlikely commissioned person, but she went. So don't think because you feel like you're unworthy you can't do something for Christ. If God's knocking on your heart's door to do something for Him, just get her done. Lord be with you, just like it was this woman. Lastly, an unlikely conclusion. Look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on Him for the saying of the woman. Isn't that neat? Which testified, He told me all that ever I did. So the Samaritans were come unto Him. They besought Him that He would not tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of His word. And He said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard Him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. This woman didn't have all the story. She couldn't go through a thesis and let them know what's going on. She didn't go to Bible college. She didn't come to Sunday school. Never been to Sunday school. Never been to church. But this woman gave what she could and then brought them to Jesus. So listen, what a conclusion. Many were saved. Why? Questionable direction. The disciples were told, we're not going to go the normal safe route. I'm going to take you where it's going to be above your pay grade. Meaning a place that you're going to have to work for, work hard for, and you're going to have to pay attention, and you're going to have to endure being with unworthy people. Many times we get thrown into situations we don't like. And the Lord says, I got this. Amen? See, the problem is sometimes we question our Lord's wisdom. Come on, amen. And we need to stop for a second and go, hold on a second. If you are in this, I better leave it alone. Even Gamaliel said, if God's in it, we can't mess with it. Not only that, many got saved later. We go to the book of Acts. We talked about this. I'm not going to go there. But in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 12, the city got saved. Eventually, all of them got saved because of Philip. They organized a church in that chapter, in chapter 8, verse 13 through 17, verse 25. They actually organized a church in Samaria, in Sychar, that hated city. Can you imagine being the pastor of the drunken city? I knew a pastor that went up to Republic, and he was going to start a church there. Greg Price was his name. He's going to start a church. And I don't know if you know where Republic is. It's right in the middle of Ferry County. So I said, are you going to call it Ferry Baptist Church or Republic Baptist Church? He goes, Republic. I say, that's good. A farmer noticed a bird beginning to build a nest in a thicket near one of the fields. The farmer immediately destroyed the bird's nest. A few days later, he noted that the bird was back in the nest building business. He again destroyed the unfinished nest. This went on for some time. Frustrated time and again, the bird finally left to build the nest in a more friendly environment. The outsiders looking at him thought that this farmer was being cruel and indifferent to this little bird trying to get her brood a place to stay. If the bird had possessed human reason, it would feel unfairly persecuted. The farmer, though, knew what he was doing. A few days later, after the bird left his field, the farmer went over and wanted to get rid of that thicket, so he burnt the thicket. The farmer's cruelty saved the lives of both the bird and her potential brood. What happened to be unfair persecution was, in fact, that bird's salvation. How often do we misunderstand God's intentions in our own lives? Things meant for good, according to Romans 8:28, sometimes seem cruel, unfair, and even senseless. Only after the fact are we able to look back and see God knew what he was doing. Let's bow our heads, please.